the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in your world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. Trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Glory, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Amen. Let's lift our voices and sing. He's worthy. Amen. Let's sing 343, If That Isn't Love. We'll try this song by the glory of the Lord. Praise him. Amen.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can fly. If that, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise him. Then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that is unlove, even in death he by His side. What a God we serve. He spoke with love and compassion. Then He took him to paradise. Oh, if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrow can't glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a God we serve. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, it's not a myth. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If that is think about that love. Glory.
He left. Think about what He did. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny.
Knowing His destiny. Oh, my. Did it for you and me. Who was the lonely hill of Golgotha there to lay? Let's stand. His life for me. Oh, if that isn't love. Is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can fly. Oh, if that isn't love, then heaven's a
Him. Lift your hands.
If that is unlove.
Once more, the chorus. Yes.
If that is unlove, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrow can fly. Oh, if that is unlove, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. You may be seated. Sister Rebecca, you can come on up. Praise the Lord. If that isn't love,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So blue. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Saving my soul, making me whole. Amen. You thank him for that? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing 510, Thank You, Lord. Just as that song says, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let him know you're thankful. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Yes, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, oh, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full. Amen. It's full and it's free. Amen. There's not many things in life that's full and free. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can get it full and free. Amen. You excited and ready for the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. And I appreciate everybody. Appreciate everybody praying from the back and all the comments. And the Lord is touching me and encouraging me. And like through Brother Terrence, lose weight too. I get it. I thank you, brother. Amen. Well, we're working on that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isn't he good? Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we get ready for the word.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, yes. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, oh, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, oh Lord, shining in the light.
be in the house of the Lord. If you want to, you can go ahead and take your seats because let's see. Who's Brother Zach? Hey, buddy. Give one of these per family, not per person. Okay? Per family. All right. You're not done yet? Go ahead. One per family. One per family. This is going to be, we had our anniversary meeting this morning. Remember, July the 3rd and 4th is going to be our 50th anniversary. If you run out, just have them make some more copies. But should be one, no, per family. Per family, not the youngins. The youngins can hear it from the mom and daddy. But we're going to go over here in just a minute. And I want you to write down, if you got a pencil and piece of paper, I want you to write down the address to the place we're going to go to. It's 6467 Old Gillsville Highway. Now, remind you, Old Gillsville Highway. What, Joshy?
Announce that again after everybody has their paper they can write on the same paper.
Okay. That boy getting older and he gets sassy. Sassy boy. Yeah, the apple don't fall very far. What are y'all saying? Thank you, son. Thank you. Yeah, Josh. Yeah, Jim said he's mine. Okay. Anyway. So while he's giving that out, so we can do what my son just adamantly requested we do. Remember, Brother Luis, he's coming back from Jacksonville. He's down there preaching this weekend. Also, I'll be speaking Wednesday. And Brother Daniel and Sister Debbie, thank you for coming. We really enjoyed the brief time we had with you. You get your family for some silly reason, and we don't get to be with you. But anyway, they'll be traveling tomorrow, so just keep them in your prayers, okay? And good to have Sister Rebecca and her crew with her. And I saw her last Sunday, but good to have her. She's been here taking care of her mom, and she's doing well from the hip surgery, so we should keep Sister Pam in your prayers. Also, as Brother Terrence already said, we've got Mr. and Mrs. Thompson up here in the front seat today, so good to have them. Good to have Brother Paul playing that horn. That sounds good. Amen? Amen. All right, remember, so now, July the 4th. They'll be leaving Tuesday. Yeah, they'll be leaving Tuesday going to Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah. Okay, let's just say Minnesota and leave it at that, okay? It was 100 degrees up there yesterday. You know that, don't you? Russ called me this morning. He said, what was your temperature? I said, about 85. He said, it was 100 up here in Minnesota. It broke some kind of record, I think it was. Okay, now that you all have your papers, would you write down 6467 Old Gillsville Highway. Now, you have to put old in because Gillsville Highway is different from Old Gillsville Highway. All right, it will take you up 323 and take you into Gainesville. 6467 Old Gillsville Highway. Now, most of you, and that's 30543, most of you know that's where we had our Christmas and our Valentine's Day banquet, so most of you have been there, and that's where we're going to have the service. So if you have that in your hand, let's briefly go over it real quick. I always believe never keep secrets. The more informed people are, the more you can get done, and the more you don't have surprises. All right, so July the 3rd, look, we have the building from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Service will start at 6, okay? Musicians in the sound system set up. We're going to get all that done. But my whole point is if somebody taps you on the shoulder, we couldn't get everybody in the Sunday school class downstairs. I'm not discluding anyone in this church. We just need a certain group that we want to deal with and then let them deal with you guys. If somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, I need you to do this, then I'd like for you to do that. And I'm truly thankful that Brother Dale's give us this chance to do this. And we should have a good time. And it's your church and it's your 50th anniversary. And then most of us won't ever see another 51, even if we keep going on. Okay. Some of you younger ones may, but some of us older ones won't see another one. So let's enjoy this one and let's, pitch in and help. Because what we're going to do is we're going to have food and drinks after service Saturday night. So we'll need some of your sisters to help set up, some of your brothers to help take trash out, some of your brothers and sisters both to get the drinks and food. It's going to be finger food. It's not going to be anything hot. Just going to be finger food and also donuts, fruit salad, fruit stuff cold, nothing hot. okay, just for them to have after the service. And then after the service, please do not leave. Stay and help clean up, because the more we have to stay and help clean up, the faster we can get out, because the next morning we come in right back on July the 4th. Service starts at 10 o'clock, so we need to get there about 9 o'clock. Set up for the food. Anna Roberts is the one coordinating that. She's getting the caterer, so if you have anything to do, if you want to help with the food, you need to speak to her. All right, and then the guys are going to check the sound system, and then afterwards there'll be an anniversary ceremony after the service is over. All right, we will be honoring the two pastors that we have. We'll be honoring the deacons we can remember and preachers and all that from the 50 years that we've been here. So, and then also the food will be set up at that time, so someone will have to do that and help serve. If you have children, please let them be involved. If they're old enough to not stick their hands in the food and not start eating before people get there, let them serve. But the food set up, and then the serving, and then after service we'll clean up. We have the building from 9 to 5, so we'll be able to fellowship some until 5 o'clock that day. We're only going to have one service. Brother Mike Olte will be doing Sunday service. Brother Jewel Forney will be doing Saturday evening service. Mom?
Are the women supposed to bring the finger food?
Yes. The sisters of the church bring finger food. What we were talking about was trays of fruit, trays of carrots and stuff like that. Anything cold. Nothing hot. Nothing we got to plug up or keep in a warmer. Everything that's cold. Cold cuts, little sandwiches, roll up whatever that stuff is and slice it up. But cold stuff, okay? Then the church will bring most of the sweet stuff, though. So just get with Anna, get with Lisa, June, some of those, and ask them suggestions of what to do. Also, this is what I need before we get started. I need coolers. We need coolers. If anyone has coolers they're not using, we need the coolers. Because there is no coolers. Yeah, we need big coolers. Listen, don't bring me a 6-can. Thank you, Josh. I like that boy. Okay. We don't need an individual cooler. We need one with some volume to it, okay? If you have them, we need them, because there's no way to keep the ice there. It has a real small refrigerator and freezer, so we need a place to keep ice for 2 days, July the 3rd and the 4th, okay? If you have any questions, now's not the time to ask them. You can ask them as we keep and continue on through. We've got 1 month to do that, so what now?
All right, everybody mark out highway and write road, because it's not
O'Gillsville Road. I'm sorry, O'Gillsville Road, okay. O'Gillsville Road. But you still got to put the old in.
Yep.
Okay, 6467 O'Gillsville Road. And they do have now, they have a sign up, and then they have a big old fence.
You said 67. 6467.
That's what it is.
You said
5. 6467. Did I not say that? Thank you, Brother Paul. God bless you. He was listening. 6467 Old Gillsville Road. We'll get there sometime today. So anyway, that's the meeting for July 3rd and 4th. And thank you for all participating and for all of you coming. It's like Christine Urego says. She said, if you don't show up for this, then this is not your church. Now, I didn't say that. Christine said that. Because this is one time. This is we're asking you for one weekend. One weekend, okay, to help and to do and to serve, that we've had 50 years of this building starting as a little bitty place and then grown into all this. And I want to thank God for two things. We've never had a split in this church. We have actually grown so large. We have grown so large, so we have spawned churches off of this church. Dad's told him that, hey, you need to quit driving 4 hours. You need to go start your church up there somewhere. So, and then that the word's being preached pure and unadulterated. That will keep a church from splitting. When you preach the word and you let people know what's going on, you preach the depth of the message, you preach where nobody can have a question. Sure, we all have questions, but not doctrinal issues. If you got doctrinal questions, you just haven't been around here long enough. You'll learn. Amen? That, as I said before, and it's really not, we give all the honor to Jesus Christ. But it has to be preached through somebody. So you give the honor to Brother Dale, Brother Moat. Brother Moat started, the seeds of all this came from him, and then it come to Brother Dale. And then I believe the other four of us in the church are supporting what Brother Dale's been preaching for 50 years. So if you do that, I think that everything is it runs good. Sure, we're like family. We have our issues and our problems, but we don't have major issues because Satan can do anything in the world except preach the word, word by word. He can't do that. He can give out spiritual gifts. He can make you shout. He can make you speak in tongues. He can make you do all kinds of things. But he cannot preach the word, word by word, and keep it in line. So if you do that, then I told him at Brother Pageant's, you can stand to your feet now. Brother Pageant's, I told him, I said, listen, I want the devil to be uncomfortable in this building. I do not want the devil to be comfortable in this building. If he's comfortable in this building, we have a problem. We want to be, we know he's here. We want him to be the most uncomfortable person in this building. And if he does, he'll keep his mouth shut. Maybe he'll leave one of these days. But that's the outline of what we're going to do. If you have any questions, Anna, June, Lisa, Dale, and any of the deacons and any of the support people, musicians, just ask, say, hey, what can I do? And then everybody will have a part to play. We've always had a part to play here in this church, not excluding anyone. Also, next Sunday, the women need to meet again. So they'll meet after second service. And the men, we're going to go ahead and meet next week for our first time ever since last year, for our Father's Day fishing trip. It'll be the one and only time we need to meet. So, as the lady says at our post office, just saying. But we're going to get together next Sunday and talk about the Father's Day fishing trip. I want to make sure that also that June the 15th, you remember we're having church on Tuesday night. A brother from South America, from Nicaragua, will be speaking for us. He's a friend of Luis's. He has attended this church before, but he never preached. He just went come through and was in the service. He's preaching that Tuesday night before we leave to go to our Father's Day trip. And Luke advised me it's not a camping trip anymore. You just wait till you get older. You won't be sleeping in the floor like we used to sleep in the floor. You won't be able to get out of the floor. But he said, I'm not going. He said, it's not a camping trip no more. I enjoy that lodge up there. I don't know about y'all, but we've been up in the mountains for years and years and years sleeping on the floor. So thank goodness that we can find this place. So, but just keep that stuff in your mind. I know there's a lot going on, but you know, I like a good active church. I like some people doing things and going forward. And keeps everybody young and happy. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews 9, and we'll continue on. We're going to have communion this afternoon after the service. We will not have foot washing. Maybe we'll start that later on, a couple of months from now or maybe next month. We won't have it next month on the 1st because the 1st will be on July the 4th. So we covet your prayers, all of us. We need to pray for this meeting. Like I said before, your prayers is what's going to change things. The devil's going to try to slip it up, but you pray, and God will do just what you pray. God will do that. He will give us a successful meeting.
Amen.
And we'll have a good time with the people. Brother Forney's already called me twice. I'm ready to come. So we're looking forward to Brother Jewel being there and also Brother Mike that Sunday morning. So Hebrews 9, verse 11. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a time on this earth. That number one, we can have life, but we can have eternal life. Lord, not just regular life to go out and live, but we know that we're connected to that, Lord. Wherever we go, we need to be a shining light for you, Lord. We need to be able to present this gospel to a dying world. And Lord, I pray that we'll do that and not just be, Lord, there's just this and no more, but there's more people out there to be saved. People are searching for you, Lord, and I pray that they'll find you. Wherever they find you, Lord, may they become settled and know that you're the only one true and living God, and Jesus Christ is your name. Father, we ask you this be in the furtherment of this service. Be with our July the 3rd and 4th meeting. Be with the June time together where the sisters go off and we go off. There'll be no wrecks or accidents, that everything will be done wonderful and decently and in order. Father, forgive us, Lord, of the things that we do in our daily life, Lord, that's contrary to you, Lord, as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But Christ become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. And here's the scripture that we've read for 21 times now, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he obtained something, and it was not for him. He obtained it for me and you. What a gracious God. Let's read Romans 11, verse 25, and you can be seated. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now let's go to Ephesians 1, as Brother Dale has been talking about the great Ephesians church. Paul could not preach this to the Corinthians. He could only preach this to the Ephesians because they were a mature church. And they knew what Paul was talking about. Well, you and I should be mature Christians at this point in time in our life, that we can understand this and not choke on it. Amen? As I tell you before, let's just lay this thing on the line. If you can't understand the message of the hour, if you can't understand the Bible, you're not born again. Just admit it. Why in the world would God give us something and give us the new birth, and they don't connect?
Right.
How can that happen? It can't happen.
That's right.
It's just your mouth so malnourished that you don't have the new birth, that maybe you had an experience, but you had just an egg under a dog experience. You understand what I mean? You know, you might have had a birth, but you didn't get all the way. You didn't go all the way and let the message of the hour. See, to me, look, the message of the hour doesn't save us. It keeps us clean.
Amen.
Makes us go up that statue of perfect man, and changes this guy.
Yep. Right.
It changes us into the image of God.
Glory.
There's a little thought I want to give maybe next Sunday, but not this Sunday. Let's go through this. And I'm having the background because we got some new ones here, and that's okay. According as he has chosen us where? In him.
Right.
Listen, as Brother Dale was saying this morning, Judas was chosen of God. Adolf Hitler was chosen of God. The foolish virgin. Everybody was chosen of God except the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ was chosen in him.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world.
Right.
So that's me and you. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. You say, I can't do that. Get born again.
Right.
Quit making excuses. That's what the world makes. We were talking about it last night in the Sunday school class. Anybody you talk to, you start talking to them about holiness and about hair and about dress and about we don't smoke and we don't drink and we don't curse and we don't do these things. And they're like, well, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. You know, they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I said, well, you're not serving the same God I'm serving.
Right.
There's not two gods that give you the same thing. One's holy, one's unholy. There ain't no in between. You either got this one or you got this one. There is no second or third or fourth God we got to deal with. There's the Almighty God and the one that wants to be God. And the one that wants to be God is sitting here today showing himself to be as God. You got to discern or determine or judge what you're hearing today. Look, having predestinated us, as Brother Dale was talking about, predestinated us what? Unto adoption. There's no other age, and we'll talk about the ages in a minute, because there's a seven church ages that had to come because it was already determined in the Bible that we needed seven messengers, we needed seven ages, we needed seven stars. Okay? Because it said in the Bible, that's what we needed to get us to Revelations 5, which is coming to redemption. Is everybody okay with that? Amen? But we had to remember Jesus didn't come to save the Gentiles at first. He came to his own and his own received him not. He had to put her away because of her whoredom, and we'll read that in just a minute. having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You're already accepted.
Exactly.
There's no, I'm not, if you got the new birth, you've already been accepted.
Amen.
Amen. Stop worrying about the past. If truly you're born again, God don't know what you did in your past. He can't even bring it up himself. You say, my God can do anything. No, he cannot remember my sin if I ask him to forgive me. And he said that. I didn't. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein hath made us accepted in the beloved. Look, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us. That word abounded means heaps on top of us.
Right.
In all wisdom and prudence. Look, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So if you've got the new birth, you will know the mystery of his will.
Right.
But if you don't have the new birth, he's not obligated to give you this mystery.
Right.
He's not obligated to give you any. I like what Brother Dale said years ago when he was preaching on adoption. He said, God does not adopt the devil's kids.
Right. Right.
He don't have to. They chose to be the devils.
Right.
So he can't adopt them. And he's not going to adopt them. He's going to adopt his own children.
Glory.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now today we're going to talk about dispensations, because there was a dispensation for Israel. There's a dispensation for the Gentiles. And then God goes right back to the Jews again for a dispensation of 144,000. Everybody got that? If I get too fast, you're just going to have to listen to the tape again. Then in dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together what? In one, not at 900 different denominations. And I'm talking about the message.
Right.
Folks, God is not confused.
Right.
There's a truth to the message and not another.
Right.
One faith. One Lord, one baptism, one message of the hour, not 100 different messages of the hour.
Right.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Remember I read you the quote last week or week before last where Brother Brown said Jesus didn't come to bring you your inheritance.
Right.
Jesus didn't come down here to develop a plan. He didn't come down here just to make people feel sorry for him and they might get saved.
Right.
No, he came down here for a purpose. Now, he would that all be saved, but he came down here to get me and you.
Right.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Jesus didn't come to bring us inheritance. He came to what? Pay for our inheritance.
Right.
To get us back to our inheritance, because our inheritance was what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. That Lamb's Book of Life was before the foundation of the world. And you and I were in his mind at Calvary. And he said, I'm dying for this one. I'm dying for that one. I'm dying for this one. I'm dying for that one. Sure, we know the Bible says he died for the whole world, but he knew who would and who wouldn't, according to foreknowledge. You got to have foreknowledge before you can have predestination. But predestination is really simple to understand if you take foreknowledge first. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. Okay, so what? It looks back. That looks back to foreknowledge. Everything has to look back to foreknowledge. Okay, if not, then you've just put him in a tube. You know, Paul's going to make it, and Frieda's not. I decided that, God said. No, he didn't. Because you know what? I'm just sorry. You sat on the front row. Because what Frieda can do, Frieda can go to the White Throne Judgment and say, why did you pre-save him and not me? Because your Bible says, whosoever will. You can take the Bible back, but to be a just God, he knew one would and he knew one would not.
Amen.
That's what always bothered me for years, how that God could take somebody's life early. He's the only one that takes life, right? Gives life and takes life. How these young people live short lives, and how that somebody like Adolf Hitler could live to a certain time and then take his own self off the scene and him be just a horrible person. You know what? If you look at predestination by foreknowledge, he foreknew that if he let Adolf Hitler live for 1,000,000 years,
right. Yep. Come on.
Adolf Hitler would never come to a day of repentance.
Right.
Therefore, he could take him anytime he needed to. Because he knew that. He foreknew by infinite knowledge. He said, okay, I'm going to let Adolf Hitler live for 80 years, and then on his 81st year, he's going to accept me. Well, God would let him live that long. But he knew that. He said, well, we'll give him 200 years. We'll give him 300 years. He knew he never would come to it, so therefore he could take him anytime he needed to. So to me, that's very simple, showing that God foreknew all these things. What? But what's it for? It's for his purpose. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And what the prophet of God tell us what his will is? His will is his word. Amen? Is everybody okay with that? When I look at this next quote, we know that the lamb and the heifer and all the different animals in the Old Testament could only push sin to Calvary. It couldn't eradicate sin. God could remember what they did because it was only covered or capoed by the blood of an animal. But when this God set up this plan, amen, when God set up this plan, it was perfect. He knew he was going to have to create some blood, create a human body, and step into it. Listen to this. But God, before the foundation of the world, foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God himself created to bring blood into the world to offer that blood. There was billions of people in the world maybe at the time that were walking around with plenty of blood. They were all people. They all had a soul. But they couldn't die for another man and then come back into that man and make that man the same man that died. Only God can do that. He foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God himself created to bring blood into the world to offer that blood. Amen? I love that. What a plan of redemption. Listen, it can't go wrong when you're the one handling the whole thing. Jesus was in total control. God was in total control. Even at Calvary, Jesus was in total control. He says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They didn't kill him at Calvary. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says. Amen? He was in total control over the whole thing. Everybody all right with that?
Amen.
Let's look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. Let's skip through the quote there on fellowship. We all know that Jehovah was a crying baby. We know that God came with no teeth, that God had to live over a manure pile when he was born. We know that. But watch this. But it's fulfilling the Old Testament. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know that what in Isaiah 53, verse 1, this is a wonderful scripture because it only talks to one man, Jesus Christ. Doesn't talk to nobody else. Talks to Jesus Christ. Who hath believed thy report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he's a common man. He is despised and rejected of men. What about a man that was the creator of the world? And they hated him. The whole creation at that time hated him. All mankind didn't like him, except for a few. He had 12, and one of them was the devil. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. If you ever get to wowsy, wowsy, woos, read this scripture. Okay? You didn't go through nothing this man went through. For you. Nothing. You didn't go through nothing this man went through for you. He gave his life, and then that life, we know now that being Almighty God, that life can be transferred inside of me and you. And that we could be, as Donnie was, we were reading this morning, we can have the mind of Christ. You can't have the mind of Christ unless you got Christ inside of you. That's pretty simple. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for Waydale's transgression. He was bruised for Waydale's iniquity. The chastisement of Waydale's peace was upon him, and with his stripes Waydale was healed. Can you read it like that? Amen? How personal is that? He sent him to me. He didn't send him to you. He come to get me. He didn't come to get you. David, he didn't come to get you. He come to get me. But you got to realize he came to get you. Okay? He got to realize. Make it personal. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't have a very nice life, did he? Earthly life. But you know what? He didn't come down here for himself. He came down here for me and you.
Right.
He came down here knowing that blood was going to have to be shed, and he was going to have to be slaughtered like a lamb. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation?
Right.
For he was cut off from the land of the living. In other words, he never had any earthly progeny. He never had an earthly genealogy. When they hung him on the cross, that was it. Man thought they had done away with him. There was no way he could have a son that would raise up somewhere. You know, you read the Bible where you have these kings, you know, and the kings have 15 or 20 kids. And then one of them goes running off somewhere in exile, or two or three go running off over here. And then they come in and kill the king. Well, all of a sudden here pops up a son. You know, or here pop up another son, or here pops up another one, you know, but not this one. Because his earthly genealogy was not what he was looking for. It was a heavenly genealogy. It was a genealogy that was inside of him, of his soul, not his body. Because he gave his soul. He made his grave with the wicked. We'll read it right here. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. See, that's where we were. We were his progeny by not by man's loins. We were his progeny by spoken word, by the eternal life that was inside of him. Part of you today was inside of that man at Calvary.
Amen.
Part of you was inside of that man when he went to hell.
Yeah, right.
And then on the day of Pentecost, he released part of that and he began having children.
Right.
And now look, the church full of children today. By what? By the spoken word is the original seed, not the other part. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. What a wonderful plan.
Right.
He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now look, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he what? He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now remember, when he came down here, according to John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Let's go down to verse 11 to save time. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Everybody with me? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So it was for anybody.
Right.
Even to them that believe on his name. But remember, we read here in Jeremiah where Jeremiah 3 verse 8 says, I saw when all the cause whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and give her a bill of divorcement. They had went backsliding in the Old Testament, so what did God do? He put Israel away. Israel was his first bride. Israel was the one he was supposed to come and get. They were looking for the Messiah.
Right. Amen.
And they weren't looking for a second person of a Trinity either. They knew that Jehovah that had went through the Old Testament and took the children of Israel through, the same Jehovah that was going to come back.
Amen.
That's why it's going to be so easy for the 144,000 to see him over there, because they believe in one God. They don't have this Trinitarian idea like we do here in the United States. Amen? But Jeremiah says, I gave her a bill of divorcement. Romans 11, verse 25. Now, if he put her away, he can't marry her as a bride again. We're back to marriage and divorce. He can't marry her again. He's already put her away. He can't marry her, but he can marry another. Because he put his wife away, he can marry again. Because of the adultery that she committed. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But now look, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now remember, not every person.
Right.
We know that. Not every person. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's the Daniel 70 weeks that we've been on for years and years and years. That's very important to the Jews. It's important to us to know what's going on, but it's very important to them because that's what God said. He said 70 weeks are determined. You're going to get 70 weeks or 70 times 7, 490 years to come to repentance. Now the Gentiles, he's give us 2,000 years. And we'll cover that in just a second. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. See, he's going to save 144,000 when we get out of here.
Glory.
Everybody got that?
Right.
As concerning the gospel, though, look, they are enemies for your sake. They hate us. We're Gentiles. We're dogs. We don't know anything about this Jehovah God that they're talking about. We don't know anything about this Messiah that's coming. But the blindness, that's why God had to literally blind the eyes of the Jews so that you and I could come in.
Amen.
He literally covered their eyes up and said, I can't marry you again. I've got to find a bride. I can't marry you, but I'm not going to forget you. Look, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Talking to Gentiles. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. He can't forget them. But there's going to be a gap in there that we're going to come to in just a second. And in that gap is going to be me and you. He's going to take a Gentile bride because, listen, if it wasn't for the Gentiles coming in and the promise of the Gentiles coming in, Daniel's 70 weeks would already be over. Because 70 weeks are determined, and then we know when it started. But what happened at Calvary, when he was cut off, as Isaiah 53 says, cut off, when he was cut off from the land of the living, he didn't come back to save all the Jews again. He came back to get a Gentile bride.
Right.
All right, everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read Daniel 9, verse 21. That's why it's so important that we see Daniel 70 weeks, that you and I are included in this, and it's part of the eternal plan of redemption.
Right.
Okay, they're a part of it, but you and I are a part of it too. And we'll show it to you in just a second how that works. Daniel said, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Everybody good with that?
Right.
He was praying, and something happened. And he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And what was Daniel praying for? Let me just give you a background if you don't know what Daniel was praying for. Daniel was saying, God, we have been in captivity for 68 years. In two more years, we're going to go free. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to us?
Right.
Well, God's going to tell him. You're going to get a release. There's a king that's going to give you an edict that's going to say you can go back to Jerusalem and start building your city. And then I'm going to come. But see, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, so you got to be careful with that.
Right.
So now look, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So listen, God not only, listen, we have no continuing city. Abraham is our father. Abraham was not a Jew.
Right.
No. Abraham was not a Jew. He was a wanderer. He wasn't Jewish. The father of our faith. They talk about him all the time, but he really wasn't. So, but watch, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and the city. So God's going to give them a city to live in. According to Ezekiel 40-44, the only city me and you are promised is the one in Revelations 20, whatever it is, 21 or 22. When that city comes down out of heaven and sits over there in Jerusalem, that's our future home. That's where we live. That's not where the Jews are going to live.
Right.
And during the 1,000-year millennial reign, they're going to build a temple, and they're going to live in that temple because they're temple builders. Remember, when you die, you don't lose anything. You just travel to another place. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, what is Daniel's people, though? They're Jews. And thy holy city, which is what? Jerusalem. To do six things, to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. In other words, he's going to save them the same way he saved you. Through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's going to save them just like he's going to save you. But they will not be bride. They've lost that part of being bride.
Right.
They will be eunuchs, or they will be temple subjects, but they will never be bride. But he's not ever going to forget them either. Make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Look, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. So they're getting ready to leave wherever they're in captive in Egypt or wherever they are, and they're getting ready to go. But remember, you got to have to travel from here to there. You've got to have some paperwork. You got to have Cyrus or Darius or one of those kings to write you an edict that says, okay, you can go rebuild your temple. You have my protection and you have my paperwork. Go build it. Well, they started to do that, and we've been through Daniel 70 weeks with all the numbers. But if you'll just read your Bible,
right.
Your Bible tells you exactly what's going on.
Right.
Okay? There's so much contention in the message of the hour about what Brother Branham said, they just have never been taught right.
Right. Amen.
Amen? They just never been taught right. Because you can't go against the Bible.
Right.
And the prophet never went against the Bible. So it's got to connect. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, because remember, it's to the people and the city. Everybody okay with that? Unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous time. If you'll read over there in Habakkuk or somewhere, they had a trowel in one hand and they were building the wall and they had a sword in this hand because listen, those people that lived around them knew if they got that temple built back again that God would be with them again. So they took all they could and they would go and bombard that place trying to get that place broken back down again because they knew that the Jews needed that temple built. And they finally got it finished. But listen, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now, why was he cut off? Wasn't cut off for himself. If you would pull that chart up, please, Brother Joe. I missed the first one, Brother Anderson. Sorry. The second one, the Daniel 70 week one. For those of you that have not been here, we're doing this eternal redemption. We started way before time and we had a timeline, but this is the one, and Brother Bob did this. So, and you know what? To an untrained eye, it looks a little confusing, but to most of us, it looks beautiful because we know what it's saying. All right. So the Bible tells us that it would be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, is that the Bible? Read your Bible. If you don't, look down.
Right.
7 weeks and 62 weeks. What's 62 plus 7? 69. No half weeks. One more time. 7. I'm reading Bible. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69. And then Messiah will be cut off. According to Isaiah 53, he was killed at Calvary. In A.D. 30.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
No half weeks in here. Nope. No half weeks.
Right.
Because the big contention is we've already had 3.5 weeks, and there's only 3.5 weeks after the rapture. Well, that's a lie.
Right.
And I'll tell anybody that teaches this a lie. Yep. Anybody. I don't care who it is. Because my Bible says, if you'll keep reading, the Bible says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Why was he cut off for? Me and you.
Right.
Then he shall destroy the city. Remember Titus in AD 70 destroyed the city right here. Everybody got that?
Amen.
And the sanctuary and the end thereof shall be with the flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, if we've had 69, according to the Bible, we've had 69 weeks to Messiah.
Yep.
Then this Gentile dispensation does not count anywhere in Jewish time.
Right.
Right? Now go that way. There's 1 week left after the rapture.
Amen.
According to the Bible. You say, no, Brother Brown said 3.5. You don't know what he's saying.
Right.
You don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
We do because we've been taught well. There's a Messiah week of 7 years, 3.5 here,
right.
3.5 here, but that 3.5 is right here.
Right.
Then you have the tribulation. The Bible tells us every bit of this it goes through because look, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week.
Right.
Now, who is the he? He shall confirm. Jesus didn't make this covenant to break it. Jesus does not make a covenant to break one.
Right.
Who makes covenants and breaks them? The devil. The prophet of God says that he is the Antichrist.
Right. Amen.
The Pope, the whoever y'all want to call it. And you know what? You and I are not here when that treaty's signed.
Right.
So we're gone in a rapture. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week... What's midst? Middle. After the prophets preach 3.5 years, there's going to be, he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate.
Right.
Even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Listen, the great tribulation is going to be man pushing buttons and killing people by atomic weapons, not God. God's going to allow it to happen. But there'll be no, listen, after the 144,000 going to rapture, there's nothing here but demons. There's no God here to save anybody. There's no salvation for anybody. You gotta die during this great tribulation. And then what happens in Ezekiel 40-44? There is a temple built. You say, find me somewhere in the Bible where it says the wedding supper's 3.5 years. It's not in there. It says the wedding supper of the Lamb. The prophet of God is telling you, though, that we're going to be gone. Right here. We're going to be gone in another dimension. While this 144th... Listen, we can't be here at the same time. We got to be gone and out of the way. And then he's going to come back and preach 3.5 years, 1260 days. They're going to take a rapture. And whatever else happens after that, folks, it doesn't matter to me. We're in glorified bodies right here.
Amen.
But he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That finishes. Because remember, what is God doing in the 70 weeks of Daniel? He's restoring the salvation of Israel and the city. So he's going to build that city back right here, the temple, that we're going to live in the millennium for 1,000 years. But remember, that 1,000 years is not for me and you. That's not a Gentile. Listen, why do we need 1,000 years? To prove. We're going to prove the sin curse is done right here. Amen. We're going to prove it right here. The sin curse, when you take a glorified body, your sin curse is over.
Glory.
And then we're going up here somewhere. It doesn't matter to me. But we're coming right back down here, and we're just going to have, what did the prophet God tell us? A honeymoon.
Amen.
Now, does your wife work on a honeymoon? No.
Right.
Obviously, you have fun during a honeymoon. We're going to have fun for that 1,000 years. But somebody is going to live that 1,000 years to prove the sin curse is over for that part of the world, or for this part of what's coming out here. Everybody got that?
Amen.
That's really simple. If you want this chart, it's about that big if you want it. But it's really neat how, Brother Bob, we kind of all got together and put all this together, and it's wonderful. If you know what you're talking about, see? See, because the contention, remember this, there was two things when the people started leaving the message. There was two doctrines. There was two things that they questioned Brother Branham on. One was the cloud, and the next one was Daniel 70 weeks. They said he was wrong, he was wrong, he was wrong, he was wrong. Well, you know what? They're wrong. Because my Bible says that 69 weeks has already happened. And he was cut off for a 2,000-year Gentile dispensation. And I went to school and I went to a little bit of college. 69 plus 1 is what? 70!
Yeah.
That's why it's called 70th week.
Right.
Not half weeks.
Right.
Now there's only 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry left because he's already preached 3.5 here.
Right.
But that 3.5 year ministry of Jesus is right here. He don't preach right here. Listen, that is the wrath of God, the destruction of man as we know it. They are going to bomb each other to death. The rocks are going to cry for them to fall on them and all these things. You just don't want to be here.
Right.
But no, ma'am, no, sir, the prophet of God wasn't wrong. If anybody's wrong, we're wrong.
Right.
Amen. But the prophet of God told us faith's final resting place is in the Word of God.
Right.
Everything you see, and you, if you see something that you think looks wrong that the prophet said or you read in the Bible, go to the Bible and say, God, I need to know. And here we go again. If you're born again, he's obligated to talk to you. If you're not, he's not obligated to talk to you. You'll be so confused till you know what? You'll leave the message. And you'll prove you're not born again. Just, sorry, simple as that. It's time where we go quit playing. You better believe this is the truth. Or God better hurry up and send you somebody else real quick. Because there's a lot of prophecy in the Bible that's being fulfilled right now.
Right. Amen.
But remember, when this man was cut off, he's coming back in two witnesses, but he sent John to the Isle of Patmos.
Yep.
But let's read Luke 24:46. Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We know that the first part of this Holy Ghost falling was on 120 Jews. But remember, we read last week, we'll read it again. There was thousands downstairs, 3,000 of Gentiles. You don't see that. People don't read that far, but you got to read that far. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these same things. Now watch. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now that word endued means, listen to this. Go to the next one. Strong concordance. What happened on the day of Pentecost? 120 licks of fire sunk into them people.
Right.
It didn't fall on them. It fell in them.
Amen.
Amen. To put on, arrayed in, or to sink into. I like that. There's the sense of sinking into a garment. It didn't sink into a garment. It sunk into human flesh. And that's where Jesus stood up and he said, oh, this is what I was waiting on. He said, I told you to go to Jerusalem and you'll be endued with what? Dunamis, or power from on high.
Right.
To sink into. I like that. That little tongue of fire didn't stay with him the whole time. It just disappeared, Brother Paul, and went right down inside of him.
Right.
And it birthed 120 little Jesuses into the body of Christ. And there was the body that got started. All right, let's read this real quick. Acts 2, verse 1. That's where we're gonna look and see here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own language? You see, they weren't speaking in tongues. They were speaking in their own language, but you were hearing them in your language. The same thing is going to happen. We're not going to need an interpreter in the future home.
Right.
You're going to speak English, and whatever nationality they can, other people come from, they're going to hear it in their language.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, all the way down into Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians do, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. So after that day, there was a Gentile dispensation started. 3,000 people went out and proclaimed the gospel of God. We don't know their names, and it really doesn't matter. God knows who they are. But they spoke a language that the people had never heard before. And then Paul, being the first church age messenger, established the first church because of a promise. Now, we know that he went to the Isle of Patmos, John did, after Paul had already died. Is everybody okay with that? Paul died in AD 50-something. It was AD 90. But what was God doing? God was showing John what was going to happen during the church ages. And that's where I'm going to base this right here, of what I'm going to speak right here for just a few minutes. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Now you say, oh, there was only seven churches. Now if there was only seven buildings, yeah, how far would that go? No, it was seven church ages. It was seven churches. Right. The people that were establishing these churches, it wasn't to just one little church. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, Smyrna. Because see, there are, if you'll read your church age book, these are literal cities. But they had a characteristic that each age had coming down through here. And it what? Coincided with the messenger to that age.
Amen.
Okay? Because if it wasn't Revelations 1, 10 through 20, and most people in the denominational world don't even care about this, it was really just a church, and it was just a letter, and it was just, cause they don't like that man thing. Even though Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and Luther the Lutheran Church, and all these different ones, they have a problem with that. We were talking about that one time in a Methodist church. They had asked me to speak, and Dad was there, and one of our cousins walked up and said, what do you mean, what do you talk about this Martin Luther and John Wesley and all this stuff? And then I think Dad's brother said, well, they're just man followers. You know, so. And that's okay. That's all right with me. I don't care. It didn't bother me. It made me say, Lord, help that blind person standing there. But thank God he sent us a prophet. But the reason he sent us a prophet is because of this right here. Because he promised us seven messengers with seven distinct different messages.
Yes. Exactly.
This is my point from today. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, that's God in human flesh, like unto the Son of Man, but he was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. John was looking at this man. He knew that was Jesus. He'd seen Jesus. He'd seen him in his lifetime, in his literal lifetime he had seen him. But now he sees Jesus standing there, clothed differently than when he was then. Why? Because he wasn't in bride form then. He was in Jesus the Savior form then. He was in what? He was the Son of Man. But now John sees this Son of Man standing in the midst of seven candlesticks, and he's got a golden girdle, dressed feminish, bride form. So now, it must click to John. There's been an amorphy. There's been a little bit of a change here. Now we've not got this man, one man standing here. We now have got one man standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. And then that person, listen to this, saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot. Sorry, I'm trying to get too fast. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white as wool. Now remember, the prophet God explains to us that is what? The judgment form, the judge form. He's in judge because who's going to judge the earth? The saints.
Right.
from the church, from when the first church started in Ephesus to this church age, there's your judge.
Yeah.
There's your judgment. Yeah. And his head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet was fine brass, if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now look, here's my promise. God's going to send me a messenger. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went what? A two-edged, sharp two-edged sword, the Word. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I first saw him, I fell at my feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Look, he's commissioning John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my hand. They were in the hand of the Son of Man. Now, he was standing in front of seven golden candlesticks, which is the seven church ages, right? But then he had a special something in his hand. Seven stars in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven church ages. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Right.
Now, let's go to the Greek lexicon. This will be the last one to watch. What is that star mean? It's a messenger from God. God had seven distinct different messengers in his hand. So here's my contention. If Brother Branham's not that seventh star, God needs to send me one. Because he promised I'd have one. In this last church age, he promised me he had them in his hand. Now, you think God's going to let them go? He had them in his hand. And he gave Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, William Branham. To give us what? A message. Now, we know that this messenger, though, here is our issue. The issue that we have, not us, but the issue that people have... is they see that God may have sent us a messenger to turn our hearts back, and then we're just all become Pentecostal, and we're just supposed to shout and praise the Lord. And then the major doctrines come up of back then, like no eternal hell, all these different things. Everybody got that? Let's just talk here for just about 5 minutes. All right? That's fine. That's Malachi 4, to restore the heart, the soul. The heart, the soul, to return our soul back to the faith of the fathers, which was the original preaching of the first church age. Amen? Everybody got that?
Amen.
They didn't have an eternal hell message. They didn't have a three-God message. They didn't have a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost message. They didn't have any of those messages. That wasn't in their repertoire. They didn't even have notes for that. Amen? But down through the church ages, though, man had eroded the messages that these preachers brought. Maybe not so much during the time, but shortly after they left, they started eating again. Remember talking about restoration of the bride tree? The devil started eating that what? He can't eat the word away, but he can eat the effect that it has. So the effect that it had during the church ages was that you believed and then you died. Luther was a Trinitarian. Wesley was a Trinitarian. This last messenger was not a Trinitarian. But now, we love the first part where he turned the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the fathers. So he turned us back, babbling babies, back to the what? Pentecostal, to the faith of the fathers. Because the faith of the fathers, Peter couldn't say, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. He had to have some of that. To be able to tell us about a statue of perfect man, he had to have a few of those gifts or a few of those things that in his life. Why wouldn't Peter? Peter was the worst one of all. He knew God done something in his life. He took that temperance away from him, that's for sure, and gave him a lot more patience. But then God sent, we got to keep reading, as I was telling Brother Daniel Wednesday night, we got to keep reading. We can't stop at Malachi 4. If we stop at Malachi 4, yes, he turned us back to the original faith of the fathers, and that would have been it. We'd had to have another church age and another messenger, because God promised, though, in Luke 17:30, that the Son of Man would have to return in the end time. the Son of Man would have to be here like he was 2,000 years ago in our flesh to change this flesh. So Brother Branham said, then we look and we see, and you just keep going. You go to Revelation 10, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. If Brother Branham wasn't, if he wasn't the voice we need to listen to, God's got to send us one.
Exactly.
Or you can take him to judgment on his word and say, you didn't give me a chance. You didn't, you lied when you said you had seven stars. You only had six.
Right.
No. God don't lie.
Right.
Never has, never will. He's give us a message. We've already got it. Why look for something else? And then the prophet of God tells us in the church age book, he said, this messenger of Malachi 4 will do two things. One, turn the hearts back to the faith of the fathers and reveal the seven seals or the seven thunders that's not written in the book, but reveal them so that you and I can take a body change. And that because there's no other church age, there's no other messenger to come. Because if you say Brother Branham wasn't a church age messenger, God's got to send somebody.
Right.
And he better do it quick or he's going to have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to every one of them for all this filth that's going on now. Methodist church going to have homosexuals in their pulpit?
Yeah.
Brother Brown said John Wesley was a firebrand snatched. I believe if he came back and saw that, it'd be some killing. He'd be more than a firebrand. He'd take that firebrand and beat about half of them to death. But you see how far man's got it away. But listen, Satan's trying to do that. My last point. Satan's trying to do that in this end time, in this message. He's trying to discredit. And I want to say this one time. One time only. I don't care if William Branham was false in his personal life. Or false in, he wasn't out here at a certain time. Or he said 2,000 and meant 4,000. What that man, when I heard his voice, that was the voice of God speaking directly to me.
Glory.
And as I read you in Ephesians, it told me the mystery of his will. I do not care about all that other stuff. You can have all that garbage you want. I'll take my stand that he is one that I listen to the voice of and that he's going to perfect, that perfection is going to come through that voice. Final voice to the final age. Why in the world would God send a... Anyway, there's no eight. There's eight manifestations of God, we know that, but there's only seven church age messengers.
Right.
There's only seven church ages, only seven church age messengers.
Right.
But God gave us a real good one in the end time.
Amen.
But you know what? It's like Brother Daniel said, the closer we get to God, the more they're gonna call you the devil.
Right.
Because listen, if they called God himself, that was the most perfect man to walk on the face of the earth, he didn't have nothing to look back on. He didn't have no lineage to say, well, I'm sorry because grandma. No, he was Almighty God.
Right.
And if they called him Beelzebub, they called him a wine bibber. They told him, they said, why is your master, why is he around all these prostitutes and all these publicans and sinners? And Jesus just looked at him and he said, somebody's well don't need a physician. A physician is needed where people are sick.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. We might have, and that's why I love what Brother Branham, God sent Brother Branham, he sent the healing message first for the body.
Sure.
He sent the healing message for the body because there was a lot of people healed under his ministry. But from 1963 to 65, that's the message that's going to change mine and your body.
Right.
That's what's going to take us to another level. And it's not going to just temporarily heal us. I'm not looking for temporary healing. That's great. I love it. But the healing of the soul is eternal. It's part of this eternal plan. And you and I are heading toward an eternal part in our body that's never happened before. It's like Brother Donnie said, even Jesus Christ has not stood like that.
Right.
He had to die.
Right.
His body lay dead cold in the grave for 2 days.
Exactly.
When we take a body change, ours will not have to.
Right.
But thank God, I just read you. He said, I'm standing here with the keys of death and of hell.
Right.
He had the keys in his hand, he had the seven stars in his hand, and he was standing right in the midst of the seven church ages. Now you and I are at the very end of that church age. We're done, we're finished, it's almost over. Believe this message.
Yes,
and I'm going to say it one more time. If you can't understand this message, you need the Holy Ghost. That's the problem I see. People are going because I shouted. I've got tenure. For those of you that don't know what that means they've got vested time. I've sat in a pew for 25 years and listened to Brother So-and-so. That don't mean squat to God. You could be dead as a doornail. But you get born again one time. Didn't God said he would give us the mystery of his will? He'll not give it to the devil. He can't give it to the devil's kids because they don't want it. They just want to shout and have a good time and, oh, this preacher, he preaches so good. That's okay. But I want you to listen. If the Son of Man's come back into power, we're going to take communion so we won't have the musicians come. But I was thinking about this last night. We were talking about the Son of Man. Show me one time. Now, if we look at the Son of Man ministry, give me 5 minutes. Those of you that slept for 30, give me five more. We look at this Son of Man ministry. Jesus Christ never, hardly ever raised his voice. We think we need to have a real loud shouting meeting where we slap the people, knock them down, and throw them all over the place. Jesus walked up to Legion, and Legion was asking him permission. That devil was asking him permission to leave. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He turned and looked at him and said, go. Boy. Now see a bait for the preachers in the end time. They're over there raving him, screaming. No. The Son of Man ministry of supreme power. Brother Bram said the most powerful anointing that ever was is when Jesus walked in that temple. Luke 4. I'll bring you the quote. He said Jesus opened the Bible and identified himself in the Word. He said that was the greatest anointing that ever struck the earth.
Right.
Ever struck the earth was when he looked in the Bible and saw who he was.
Right.
Now what will happen to me and you?
Glory.
When we see who we are, how many times have we quoted that? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, she will be an invincible army. Not that we can shout louder than the next person. Not that we can get this feeling or emotion. But if supreme power and control, to me, is adoption where you know who you are.
Right.
You know what you're doing here.
Exactly.
And if something does come up and rile up against you, it's like Brother Branham did with that man. You know, the man challenged him. The devil's always wanting to challenge people. But that's okay. Let him challenge. But Brother Bram stood his ground and he told that demon, he said, now this is not a fight of flesh. In other words, if I'd have been that man, I'd have left because right then that man knew who he was talking to.
Yeah.
He was talking to that demon that was inside of that man.
Right.
He said, you'll fall at my feet. Now he didn't reach and scream and shout. No, he said, you'll fall at my feet. Jesus Christ on this earth, if we're back to the Son of Man message, it's not going to be a Pentecostal revival. Like people think it's going to be. But when we see the manifestation of God, then we can shout and praise the Lord. Knowing that it's the shout of the king in the camp. The king is here. He's here to do what he's supposed to do. We will not have another messenger. So if you don't believe this one, and if you have questions about this one more time, if you'll get the Holy Ghost, you won't have questions.
Right.
You know what? Look at yourself in the mirror one day and say, look, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, talk to yourself. I want to know it. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I want to know it. God, you said you'd give me the Holy Ghost if I would ask you. Go through the process again. Get baptized. Do the things of God. Quit worrying about stupid stuff on the internet. Quit worrying about somebody, brother so-and-so. Right. I really don't care.
Right.
I'm like Brother Dick Addison. If they could prove that Brother Branham was an adulterer, that would not bother me one bit. He brought this message to me. All that frivolous stuff does not mean one thing to me. I've never wore a belt buckle. I've never went fishing with him or wanted his knife or never wanted a part of his floor. That's relics. He brought me to this. This is what I'm going to take me out of here, not relics. And it's okay. I'm not belittling Brother Ram. You know that. You know I'm not. Greatest man that walked on 2 feet besides Jesus Christ.
Right.
But he's not my Savior.
Right.
But I know what he did. He brought me to my Savior.
Right.
He didn't just bring me to my Savior. He brought the Son of Man, God in human flesh, not just to be beside a group of people. He brought a word for to go in a group of people.
Right.
In the end time, let's stand to our feet. God bless you. If you have a need, you know what we've done before? Many times we've took communion and people have needs and they be healed when they take communion.
Right.
So let's bow our heads real quick and we'll go to the communion. To Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you give us. And truly, Lord, we're not trying to belittle anything except the devil. I don't want him to have any part of this. I want him to be uncomfortable. I don't want him to have a place in this building. Because he torments us every day of our life. But Lord, there's a time and a place where we come to this sanctuary, Lord, that we can hear from you, Lord, and not have to worry about all that other stuff out in the world. And Father, we pray that you just bless each one, Lord. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. As we take this communion, Lord, clear our hearts out, Lord. If it be any sin among us, Lord, may we get it out now. Father, confess it and get rid of it. And let's take this communion and let it be something that will help our bodies and help our soul, Lord, that will take us and carry us into a rapture. Father, we ask just to be with each one, Lord. Be with the ones that are traveling tomorrow. Keep them safe on the highways. Thank you for bringing Brother Paul and Sister Frieda through the wreck, Lord, and bring them to church today, Lord. What a testimony that is, Lord, that you bring them here, Father, and enjoy the service. We pray now, Lord, that you'd be with the Lord as we get ready to head into these next couple of weeks of hustle and bustle, that we'll not forget you, that we'll pray. Before we do anything, we'll have prayer, Lord, even for the time coming up of our Father's Day fishing trip and the ladies going, and then also the July meeting, Lord. We thank you for giving us 50 years of being able to listen to you speak to us through the words of a fivefold ministry. Lord, now as we look down at this scripture, Lord, that we're going to read in just a minute, that we'll, Lord, it won't be just words, but it'll be a true communion. That you broke your body, and Lord, you gave your soul a ransom to get us out of prison. And Father, we give our life back to you, Lord. Be with each one, Lord, under the sound of my voice. If there be any sick here, Lord, you said you sent the word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So, Lord, I pray that that'll happen just as we take this communion, Lord, a solemn time that we are to honor you, Lord. Until the day that we are able to take it with you at the marriage supper. We look forward to that day, Lord. We thank you and we commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body. Unworthily. Just, we have to be careful, see. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. See, that's my brother Dale. There's your way out.
Right.
If you think you're unworthy at the moment, there's a way out right here. Examine yourself. And so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The prophet of God said, if you got an ought against a brother, He said, if you can't get to that brother, he said, you go ahead and take communion. He said, but you better go to that brother and get it straightened out, our sister. So we're okay. We're good, right? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. He had come to the Corinthians, and they were just having a drunk feast. They were just having a great meal, and they were just all getting drinking and staying at the table, and they were just saying, this is the Lord's Supper. No, it's not the Lord's Supper.
Right.
It was a solemn time. He said, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So we're going to tarry just a few minutes. The prophet of God said, you pray for your pastor. Your pastor will be praying for you, and you pray for each other. So let's bow our heads.